Welcome to the 7X Wrestling Show. I am Timmy 5000. X is being bitched with by almost everyone tonight, so I get to be the host. Oh, goody me. Hate you, X. Anyway, tonight was the 5th of November, Friday Night SmackDown. We had Edge versus Alberto Del Rio in the first and opening match tonight. It goes to a no contest after Nexus, without Wade Barrett, comes in and pretty much destroys everyone. And then a couple of members on the SmackDown roster come out. X-Factor, what do you think about this opening segment and match?
I can see what WWE was trying to do with it, and for the most part, I think they succeeded. Basically, they're trying to get the rest of Nexus over because, for the most part, you really only have Wade Barrett, who's gone over with everyone. In that part, they succeeded, but I need to talk about Edge real quick. WWE has fucked up once again. They've taken a very good performer who's a main eventer and have turned him into five or six moves. Edge is basically lie around all the whole time and wait to get a spear. Why do they always have to do this? Orton, Cena, it doesn't matter. If you're going to be a main eventer, you're basically stuck with the same five moves and losing throughout most of the match. That's the one thing I hate about it, and also the fact, why the fuck was Kane out there? Kane's supposed to be the devil's favorite son. Why is he helping Team SmackDown against Nexus? I mean, sure, he's the world heavyweight champion, but why? This guy is supposed to be a loner and basically dissing himself from everyone else. That's all I've got to say.
Okay, I like the matches. It was a well-paced match. But yeah, De Rio having, you know, dominating majority of the match was pretty annoying. But it's still a good match. I love in De Rio's suplex what he does, that German suplex he does. Brilliant. Again, Edge. Wow, I think I told you guys this already on a previous podcast that WWE are going to do the same thing they've done to Cena and Orton to Edge, and then you're going to get tired of him sooner rather than later. Serious. So I'm not surprised they're going to do that.
I'm not tired of him yet. It's just I kind of saw it on last Friday night and. For them to do it again, it's like they're gonna fuck him up.
Oh yeah, I said they could eventually bury him into the ground like they've done with nearly every other one of their top stars.
He is. Why didn't he spear Ricardo? I don't know his name, so I'm just gonna call him Ricardo Montalban.
You killed my father.
Yeah, that was shock. That guy's got some heat himself, though. He's definitely gaining heat himself, so he's doing well.
Pretty much the same way that Mr. Kennedy, when he first started out.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, to this day, is still awesome.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just go the whole segment afterwards, you know, Nexus, the cancer of the WWE, because these guys really do know how to fuck up a pay-per-view at times.
Were starting up with their big main event that they were going to fuck it up somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I didn't mind Nexus attacking, and what I thought was pretty interesting was Ray going after Gabriel. At least they made him go after someone that he probably could beat up for real. Again,
one other improvement that needs to be made to this segment. They needed to have some of these superstars sprinting down to the ring when a big show comes out just to keep up the momentum that Nexus started out.
Yeah, I'm just going to finish with Kane attacking Nexus again. Like you said, X, what the fuck? It doesn't make no sense. Obviously, they don't want us to think that Kane is behind the Nexus, so probably they did that. I've got nothing else to say.
My bet is that Cena's going to end up screwing over Wade Barrett, and Wade Barrett's going to end up being exiled from Nexus. Or Wade Barrett wins it, and then Nexus turns on him.
I really hope not, because Wade Barrett is the perfect voice for Nexus. None of these guys have good speaking skills whatsoever. Their mic skills are dead as weight. If they get rid of the only person who can talk, because they got rid of the person who could really wrestle, they're going to lose a lot of momentum. Joe Henning, Michael McGillicuddy, he can't talk. Hussey Harris, he can't talk. David Otunga, knows he can't talk. Keith Slater, can't talk.
I saw McGillicuddy on NXT, and I thought he was okay with the mic.
He was okay at some times, and then other times he really was poor. I'm still a good fan of McGillicuddy, but he is so poor on the mic and so boring too. He has zero personality. Zero.
It's not that he doesn't have personality. It's just that he should let his actions do his words. Because some of those promos he cut on NXT were just terrible. The Hulk of all wetsuit thing would be, it's the most dumb.
Oh, yeah. God, that was bad. That was bad.
But Wade.
Anyway.
But that goes back. Even if he did have mic skills, Wade Barrett has, the always on point mic skills. Mainly because he's British, and, British people already have that natural heel to them in the wrestling business. But.
Exactly.
But still, he at least he's on point when he talks, unlike, the entire other Nexus. So if they get rid of Wade Barrett, they are screwed.
With
I know
that
you guys
said,
like me for this, but throughout the show, I gotta say, I hate to admit it, but Otunga showed improvement.
When it comes to mic skills, I never thought Otunga was bad. I thought he was
not the mic skills. I mean, his in-ring skills.
We'll talk about that in their match tonight. I disagree greatly, but after this, Teddy Long announces the main event, and then we go into the WWE Intercontinental Championship match between
Dolph JTG.
Dolph Ziggler versus JTG. Kayla comes out to the ring to celebrate with Dolph, but Vicky Guerrero comes out and gets into a fight with Caitlyn. What was your opinion of this match and this terrible segment that led into a more terrible match later on tonight?
Who did JTG piss off? I mean, seriously.
Ezekiel Jackson.
They split up Crime Time, and he cuts a promo right before the draft saying that I'm going to get some gold around my waist, and I haven't done anything with him since.
You know, this is what I think.
The guy is talented. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt, he does have mic skills, because there's no, despite his stupid rapping gimmick, he could probably put up one of the great promos, but...
Do you know They want to push Shad. They want to push Shad because he's taller and he's got more muscles, so they're thinking, let's push Shad, who is a piss-poor wrestler. And the reason why, they are going to push him because that's why he's in FCW now. They want to push Shad because he happens to be taller and it's got more muscles. That's the reason. I mean, I don't understand that. JTG was the man in that group. He had better mic skills, more charisma, better in-ring ability. He's better than Shad in every single way, apart from not having the muscles and not having the height. That's it.
One thing I don't understand is why don't they allow for guys who have talent, not as great as Shawn Michaels, but you could see potential-wise, that's the max that they could get.
Yeah,
but they don't allow them to develop.
Yeah,
I mean, JTG has mic skills and in-ring skills and could put on one hell of a show. That's basically what Shawn Michaels was.
Yeah.
But, of course, much, much better.
Yeah.
And again,
I think I'll
never see one like that again.
Yeah, again, Ziggler versus JTG. You know, these guys would have actually put on an even better match if they had a lot more time, because both of them are really good in the ring. It was just a piss poor match because it was a squash match, and I absolutely hate squash matches, especially when it's someone who's got a lot of talent like JPG. So, you know.
And one more thing, Cole, why is Michael Cole mentioning Ryan when he's not even a part of the show? Seriously.
You've got an obsession, isn't it? You've got an obsession with the guys. I think, I don't know.
I mean, he's talking about Brian being a peeping Tom. The dude is freaking stalking Brian.
Exactly. He can't get enough of him. I'll just say one last thing. Vicky's slap to Caitlin was pretty damn good. They both looked pretty hot.
I gotta say, Vicky Guerrero kind of made that segment. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of this spoiled little brat. There was more like, holy shit, don't fuck with her.
Yeah. That was all right segment. At the end, anyway. Hate the match.
And then they go and ruin it with the what you, if you could call it a Divas match.
Yes, later. We will call it a Divas match because that was a Divas match, not women's match. Anyway, backstage segment, Guerrero storms into Teddy Long's office and demands revenge against Caitlyn, and the match happens on later. Also backstage, the Nexus attack Rey Mysterio and lay him out. David Otunga says that Wade Barrett's in Great Britain, but they attack because they can. Is this a sign that Otunga's trying to be a stupid leader, or it's just some stupid crap going on? What do you guys think of these two segments before we go into the next match?
Again, Nexus is basically, they're just using SmackDown to help get the rest of Nexus over, and I gotta say the Vicky promo was all wrong. For some reason, WWE creative completely forgets that Teddy Long is Vicky Guerrero's boss. Now, I don't know what planet you can talk to your boss that way and still have your job, but in the real
WWE,
world...
The WWE, come on. If you want to go back, we'll go... Yeah, Stone Cold stun his boss.
Exactly.
Well, Stone Cold was kayfabe unemployed most of the time.
Yeah, that's true. That is true, though.
But, okay, DX shoved their boss... his face up a giant ass. You want to question Boss and WWE? You're not going to win this one. Okay, there's been so much done worse.
Lashley is another one.
Yeah, then he went to TNA, they got fired. That worked for him.
Well, I think it was like right after that the Benoit incident happened, so it's like I kind of tuned out after that for a while.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm just going to finish off this segment, so this thing they're saying that at least they beat up Ray, and at least someone that is a great talent and the future of this business gets his spot instead, so that's all right.
Speaking of which, the whole adding Kofi Kingston in, I think the reason they're breaking up the tag teams is like, you've got a big tag team pay-per-view coming up with Survivor Series, and you came out of bragging rights as another big tag team pay-per-view. My thinking is that they're trying to find new tag teams to put together, so they're basically experimenting what works here.
Yeah, it could be.
That could be, but then again, there are no tag teams at the point. Nexus has the belts, and there's no competition, so maybe the Hart Dynasty looks like they're breaking up, too.
They had the Usos, but they fucked up there.
Yeah, Usos. Uso was a flash in the pan. I really hope that didn't happen,
but
it did.
Santino Kozlov.
Oh, jumping to those guys is just, that's nearly as bad as what's happening to Masters. Well, that comes later in the show.
The Gatecrashers broke up on Superstars. When your only legit team on Superstars gets messed up, you're screwed. There are no tag teams left. I'm not counting the Dude Busters. I'm not counting Kozlov and Santino.
I gotta admit, I did like the Gatecrashers.
And then they broke up, which is why they broke up, because someone liked them. You can't have a good tag team. This is why we can't have nice things. This brings us into our triple threat for the number one contenders match, MVP.
MVP lives!
Who comes out with new music, defeats Drew McIntyre and Cody Rhodes in a three-way to earn the Intercontinental Championship match. What was your opinion of this match? I'm glad it got good airtime, but I hated the commercial break. I hate commercial breaks on a tape show. But take it away.
I've said before the show, this was a match where you didn't know really which way it was going if you didn't read the spoilers. MVP, of course, Survivor Series is in Miami, so normally you would think, yeah, MVP is going to get the title shot. But the fact that you have McIntyre, who needs some momentum badly ever since the whole visa incident, and you have Cody Rhodes, who needs to establish himself as a singles wrestler. So, really, you had no idea who was going to win. You had great in-ring psychology, great spots throughout, and one thing that ruined this match, I mean, this was a pay-per-view quality match, hands down. Cole needs to shut the fuck up. Seriously. I mean, for the most part, I just tuned him out and he became white noise, just to save my sanity.
Cole butched the right hand and he called the clothesline a right hand. Oh, that's just poor. That's just piss poor. What the hell? How did you butch that?
He's Michael Cole. He called Batista the women's champion.
He probably believed Santina was a real woman, too.
He probably did.
He called Stephanie McMahon Triple H's husband.
That, do you know why that butch was so bad? Because that was actually a moment that you really didn't need to laugh about. That, oh, Cole. I don't know, man. That guy. Three freaking nights a week he's on. Is he on Superstars too?
NXT, if you watch NXT.
He's on four nights a week.
I count him Superstars. I don't really see him on Superstars. I think it's Scott Stanford now.
I've missed the last episode. Did he have the Toaster Salesman on? Please tell me they have the Toaster Salesman on Superstars.
Yes.
Yes! I'm going to watch Superstars again because Toaster Salesman is awesome.
You sound very professional, man. I mean,
because he calls the match. He calls a match and he sells you a toaster during a commercial break. He's awesome.
And you can actually, and the best part is that you can really, he's very clear and you actually can understand him. Why is he not? He enunciates.
That's a key thing when you are a commentary. We don't need you jabbering off about how Daniel Bryan is a peeping Tom, you freaking weirdo.
Exactly. You just talk about the match. Speaking of the match, I thought Cody Rhodes, is he calling this a beautiful disaster? That whole kick he done when Drew McIntyre had MVP in a... And his future shock DDT, that beautiful disaster he done on Drew was awesome, absolutely awesome. Again, it was a well-paced match. I did really love this match. And it's nice to see MVP getting a push again. And he's got the crowd behind him now, you know? He's got the crowd behind him, so...
But just, the thing is, no offense, but he's not supposed to have the crowd behind him. I keep saying this, with a name like MVP... You are not supposed to be a fan favorite. Unless he turns heel at Survivor Series, he's going to have a weak run. He needs to be a heel. Badly.
Yeah. His mic skills are a lot better as a heel, too.
He's passable as a face. I'm sorry, but he's passable as a face. Unless they want to do something with the whole LeBron James thing.
He can be a face, but it's really hard to pass off his gimmick as a face. He's MVP. He's you know, the acronym is his name, but it's also most valuable player. When he first came into the business, he had I'm the most highest paid SmackDown superstar. And then he's supposed to be arrogant. He has an ego. His show is the VIP lounge. Everything about him screams ego.
Screams heel, So
does everything about Chris Jericho, yet he can pull off face and heel with ease.
But the thing is, with Chris Jericho, when he's a face, he's actually a comedian. When he's a heel, he has this dark demeanor or sadistic sarcasm to himself. When MVP's a face, he's just there. You know, when he's a heel, he's bragging.
Nothing rememberable.
Right, nothing rememberable in his face. Even now, as a face, he still has this whole heelish look. He's wearing a necklace with his own name. Not name, but acronym for his name, around his neck. I'm sorry, what?
And his area code.
Yeah. Well, 305, represent, motherfucker.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Go on, just finish this off.
All right. And as for the next match, Vicky Guerrero versus Caitlyn. I don't know what the fuck happened. I don't know how to call this so-called match.
I'll just have a quote here. He goes about Caitlyn and Vicky Guerrero, and seriously, he said this. This is what WWE is all about. Are you fucking kidding me? How do you say something like that? I'm surprised Stryker didn't reach across the announce table, grab him, and beat the holy shit out of him.
It's not all what it's about, but at least, you know, 5% of it's about this sort of crap, isn't it?
I mean, honestly, if they were going to keep Cole on commentary on SmackDown, they should have kept up with the Hornswoggle Cole rivalry out of bragging rights. I came up with this idea. I posted it to a forum and said they should continue with Hornswoggle fucking with Michael Cole and have it lead up to basically a comedy match, Michael Cole versus Hornswoggle, with Hornswoggle kicking Michael Cole's ass.
With a flag.
Yes. I mean, honestly, what person in IWC doesn't want to see that? Michael Cole getting beat up in the ring by a midget.
That would be the greatest match ever.
It brings a tear
to my eyes. It's so beautiful.
I mean, JR can be in a match. Why not Michael Cole?
Yeah, exactly. Didn't he beat Triple H? Yeah, he did.
That's still hilarious.
Okay,
Can I just give Caitlyn a bit of credit for carrying Vicky throughout that match?
If you're going to give Caitlyn credit for carrying Vicky, then you should also give her back surgery, because that is a heavy load.
And I was ready for the insert fat joke when I
was about to say. Did Cole and Stryker get up when Vicky first got out of the ring?
Yeah, that was funny. And
Stryker was funny. Cole was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that was funny.
I held Stryker to hardly ever botches, but at the beginning of the show, he makes fun of Vicky's weight.
Well, Stryker's getting on the point where he's getting tired of Cole, too. Like, when Vicky came out, Cole started clapping like a retard, standing up, and Stryker's like, just sit the fuck down, you idiot.
Don't blame him for that. You know what I mean?
Even Doug Bridgen, like, going, seriously, dude, why are they sticking you here is beyond me.
Exactly, because I mean, Todd has improved. I think Todd's been good today. He thought you had a really good show today. Todd himself really described the match as well. I thought you had a good day today. Anyway,
the only problem with Todd Grisham is
Todd basically said, "I'm going to go to the catering cart. Y'all two just gush over Vicky. Well, y'all won't even notice I'm gone."
No. The best line was, here's how I'm going to call the match. Young lady hits old woman. I'm going to the catering cart. But no, the only problem with Todd Grisham is that he lets people walk over. It's Solo, again, when he was hosting this online weird show, he was actually on fire. He was yelling at TNA marks. He was pretty beastly when he was online. When you pair him with Stryker, who never shuts the fuck up.
He was good on Sunday Night Heat, too.
Sunday Night Heat, too. I don't remember too much of Heat.
Stryker overshadows the guy, and that's not really Stryker's fault, but that's just Stryker, you know. He's really good Stryker. You know, he was actually a decent wrestler too at the time, but you know, he's really good as a commentator. So I'm not really surprised him overshadowing, you know, Todd. It's not really his fault. You know?
No one's blaming Todd, but you know, he just kinda sits there. He really has no momentum because, you know, you're working with Stryker. Stryker's just going to be on fire. Every time there's a pay-per-view, we're praising Stryker, telling King he's funny and telling Cole to shut the fuck up. But Stryker's usually on ball and on the point, and he has more wrestling knowledge than all five commentators, including Josh Matthews, because he's also pretty good. But the thing when you're compared to someone who won't shut the fuck up, you're not getting anywhere.
Exactly.
Honestly, Stryker should have done what Taz. When Michael Cole was paired with Taz let Cole at least get over a little bit. I mean, he wasn't constantly bad.
Yeah, he did. He did. I mean, the only guy that kind of, buried Cole was freaking JBL, and I absolutely loved it. So, you know, that's the only guy that. Do you guys remember when. JBL just told him to shut up. That was fucking funny. He just told him, Cole was mouthing off, and then JBL just said, shut up, a fool.
And Stryker and Grisham are doing that every single Friday.
Yeah, but I thought JBL done it in a more burying way. So
He pretty much just yelled and said, shut up, Cole! All right, we got to get done with this segment because we're just going to talk about Stryker and Cole. We're going to be here all night.
One thing about Vicky. Seriously, you have all that momentum from that first segment, and you had to ruin it by throwing constant tantrums and getting a cheap-ass pin.
Oh, seriously. No, she made Eddie proud, man. She lied and cheated. And still to get that pin, even though.
Oh, no,
No. Guerrero is at least honest about that shit.
That was a low blow.
But at least they're honest about it.
Okay, we cut to Kelly Kelly and Cabal congratulating MVP on his win. Then the Nexus beats up Cabal and MVP. All I gotta say is I feel bad for Cabal because now his only airtime on this week's show is just getting beat up again. I feel bad for him. But Nexus beats up two more people. What do you guys think?
At least it made sense. I mean, with McGillicuddy and Harris in there, you knew at some point they would attack Cabal. Just because he won NXT. I mean, in fact, MVP there just got stuck there.
I had three problems with this, even though it didn't make sense. I mean, Cavall getting beat down, of course. Kelly Kelly not getting beat down herself. And my biggest problem. Well, who cares? Why didn't they get? I hope at least two of the girls who wins, who is in season three, be part of the Nexus. But my third problem was way too much close-ups with the guys laying around. Man, it looked like a fucking orgy. I didn't like that. Exactly.
And Justin Gabriel was the leader of that group.
He was doing the most beatdowns, anyway.
Yeah. At one point, it only took almost took off his shorts. All right. What do you say? So, next.
Tyler Rex faces Chris Masters. I wonder who's gonna win this one. Tyler Rex actually looking pretty good against Chris Masters. Uses the burning hammer, one of my favorite moves in wrestling. Gets the pin. What do you guys think? Burning hammer, beautiful move.
I wish they would use Masters more instead of having him job out. I mean, honestly, it goes back to when he was first on Raw, the whole Master Lock challenge. That's basically what screwed him up. He would probably be in the main event right now if it wasn't for that.
That and then he got fired for drugs, but you know.
But Rex is like, you cue his music. You shut the fuck up. You don't want to draw that guy's attention. Honestly, he looks like a slim and fit Mike Knox. That's what his persona seems to be like.
But he doesn't have the Mike Knox beard. Mike Knox was not hired for his skills. He was hired for his beard. In fact, his beard was so epic that they gave it to CM Punk for a while.
I don't know. Maybe Rex is getting, you know, because he's got locks. With that said, Kofi's got it too. But
I think basically from here on out, at least I'd say till TLC, they're going to treat Tyler Rex as if he was Goldberg.
You think so?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Keep Bret Hart away.
Let's see who is the Bret Hart of now. It's probably, it's probably Daniel Bryan, isn't it?
Oh, God, no. Run away.
Honestly, who could see Daniel Bryan? I mean, I love the guy, but who could see Daniel Bryan taking that big-ass motherfucker down to the mat into a LaBelle lock?
Well, I'm just saying, if Ray could freaking, you know, I'm just going to say, anytime someone's questions about height and all that, all I'm saying is Ray Mysterio. And that's what I've got to say with that.
Well, Ray is Ray, and they're probably grooming Evan Bourne to be a successor.
I think even though he's jobbing, I actually do think he's got guys in the back that, you know, who are big guys. You say Cena, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, Cena went to bat for him. I mean, honestly, I know y'all guys bash on Cena, but Cena is basically one of you guys. He stands up for the mid-card guys. He gets them over. He gets everyone over.
Well, that again, that's what do you call? That's not kayfabe wise, though, isn't it? So, you know, I've never bashed Cena when it comes to non-kayfabe stuff.
Okay.
When it comes to kayfabe, that's when I'm gonna bash the guy. Serious.
When it comes to wrestling, I hate the dude. When it comes to backstage, I really don't have anything bad to say. He does a lot of work backstage. He does a lot of good charity things. I don't legitimately hate the dude, but I hate him in ring because he does nothing. For the business. He is the Hulk Hogan of our time. And it's only going to be a matter of time when we see him 30 years down the road when he's flashing his dick in front of his daughter for a rap song.
No, wait. Apparently Hulk Hogan was flashing something else. Maybe he had a sex change.
Oh, God.
Maybe that's why Brooke was so shocked when it happened.
But anyway, backstage, I have nothing bad to say about Cena. But in the ring, he needs to leave. He needs to move on.
Let's move on because I really don't want to hear no more about Cena, especially on a Friday night or Randy Orton.
Okay.
I want to say one thing about his Superman gimmick. Throughout his career, Prototype, Word Life, and the Soldier gimmick, it's pretty much always been there. He really never given up in his entire 10-year career.
Oh, don't say never give up and Cena in the same sentence.
God. Just move on, please.
Okay, so main event. Edge Big Show, Kane, and Kofi Kingston with Alberto Del Rio, but he leaves in the middle of the match. Beats Nexus with Edge spearing Otunga and Kane.
This match basically says Kofi should be in the main event. I'm sorry.
There's no need to say sorry. The only problem with Kofi is he's like Sabu. No, he's going to botch. We know that. But you know what? He's Kofi fucking Kingston. We're going to love him no matter what because he really does scream awesome without having to yell it in a mic. He's just badass like that. Whenever we hear Kofi's music come out, we're like, it's Kofi fucking Kingston. He's an awesome person.
Exactly.
Well, I know you were on the chat last night, Timmy, but I didn't clarify it. When I say Randy fucking Orton, I mean, like, I'm sure you've grown up in the Northeast and heard this. Bucky fucking Dent. That's basically what I'm saying Randy Orton is now. What? You've never heard of Bucky?
Orton and Cena on a Friday night. Oh, come on, man. Please move on.
Yeah, stay focused. Main event. We have Kofi Kingston, Mr. Awesome himself, the great one. He, you know, even if he botches, he's still cool. Women want to be with him. Men want to be him. He's just awesome like that.
The best thing is about Kofi is that he has so much energy and physical ability that even when he botches it, he makes it look like he meant to do it.
Okay, listen, there is no way that is even possible. I'm sorry, but when he tried to run up ladders and then knee someone in the face, he got his foot stuck. How are you going to make that look like he did it on purpose?
Well, the Money in the Bank ladder match is a clusterfuck to begin with.
But still,
all over the place.
All I'm going to say is, I'm just going to say one thing. I'm just going to rant quickly about Money in a Bank. You had a guy that busted, got in 5 Money in a Bank matches and never won it once. And you have a guy that done nothing, absolutely nothing in the Money in a Bank and won, even though I'm a fan of him. What a joke. But anyway, you guys know who I'm talking about.
Shelton Benjamin and Jack Swagger.
No, not Swagger. I'm talking about The Miz.
Miz.
What the fuck did The Miz do in that match in Money in the Bank? And I marked out. Don't get me wrong. I did mark out, but he done absolutely nothing in that match. And
he
won.
He does nothing in all his matches. He always just, you know, gets beat up, does skull crushing for that. Oh, we're talking about Miz on Friday night. I hate you.
Oh, yeah. Miz and Cena. Oh, come on. Yes. Come on.
Main event. We have Kofi Kingston and Kane in the main event. No! Main event. Talk about it.
I think me and the Grease have ruined SmackDown for you, Timmy.
Talk about the main event.
Okay. It was a good match, and like I said earlier in the show, Otunga has shown improvement. Now instead of one move, he has 4. So that's a 400% increase. So major improvement.
You know, David Otunga. Well, just scrap that. X, you said it perfectly the other day. David O, I can't wrestle for shit, Tonga, because that guy is piss poor in the ring, man. He is up there with some of the worst I've ever seen. Could be the worst, you know? I mean, scrap that. I don't want to talk about Otunga.
I got to say, though, he was selling a lot of the stuff very well tonight.
There's a lot of guys that could sell that are awesome. You know, Tava sold the best when it comes to, you know, he's not a great wrestler, but he sold pretty well.
I thought Tava had some potential.
Yeah, mic skills wise, I think only, you know, Barrett and Daniel Bryan, yeah, of course they're going to be better than him. But I thought mic skills wise, Tarver holded his own.
He did. Tarver was actually pretty good, despite that we now have a running gag that WWE boos homeless people. Tarver was that good, he made us boo homeless people.
Well, he did. Well, considering he grew up around Mike Tyson, you knew he could do a heel easy.
No, yeah.
But he didn't have to go, "I'll eat your kids."
Excuse me?
Mike Tyson said he'll eat our kids during one of his...
Oh, my God.
What? What the... Oh, okay. I remember that. Let's go. De Rio, you know, this guy, should he be in the main event so fast? Maybe not, but... This guy's really, he's really awesome, you know. The Rio, he's got a sick person. Okay, he's the Mexican JBL, okay? But, you know, this guy is brilliant, you know? Mike skills, got the in-ring ability, and, you know, I heard that he's actually a pretty decent high flyer, whatever. I completely forgot what you guys call it.
When you can do an enziguri on the top, to a guy who's on the top rope, you're pretty good at flying.
Let me interrupt. I am tired of these cheap comparisons that I've been hearing. JBL is nothing like Alberto Del Rio, and Alberto Del Rio is nothing like JBL. I mean, I will get they're both rich, but I mean, JBL, what he carried himself as this dupe, like this big redneck Texan that made money. Alberto Del Rio carries himself that he was born in the money.
I really don't consider JBL to be a Texan. He acted like he was more from New York.
Yeah, he did. He did go into New York mode, but he had the big Texan hat and the longhorn and the...
Yeah, okay, I do get what you're saying. I'm just, you know...
I'm just... And I understand the comparisons, but they get kind of weak after a while. And the same goes for Jack Swagger and Kurt Angle. That's terrible.
Well, I really hate that comparison.
WWE would prefer to have JBL with this current time period because they desperately needed a heel, a guy who was an elitist heel with this whole recession going on.
That would have worked, you know. It's working. It is working.
Yes,
he's getting
the Alberto Del Rio is the perfect guy. Is doing it perfectly. They can't get JBL because of his back, but they're doing it perfectly.
Again, Big Show's getting some decent pops. Have you noticed that he's getting some really loud pops? They're gonna push him one last time.
How do you loud pops when you're that huge?
Let me put it like this. Yeah. Just give it two more months and then he'll do another heel turn.
He's rare, though. He is rare as when it comes to playing a better heel, a better face than a better heel, because that is, and when I mean a better face, I mean the guy plays a face a lot better than he plays a heel, because when he plays a heel, he's made to look like a joke, a real joke. When he plays a face, you know?
WWE does this. They go like, all right, how long should Big Show be a face this time? Throws a dart at the dartboard and lands on four. 4 months. How long should he be a heel? Throws a dart at the dartboard. 2 months. They don't know what...
I think he did one for 2 years at one time. Big Show, then, he did a face for 2 years one time.
Well, that was the 20 spot then.
Well, you know, him anyway, he's getting the pops. I never really liked him when it comes to in-ring style or that, but just hope
he's
500 does.
Pounds. What can you expect out of him other than to beat the shit out of everyone?
Yeah, that's kind of all he can do. Let me guess, you want him to do a swanton bomb on someone?
No, I'm not expecting that. I expect something like, I'm not saying he's that bad. I'm not saying he's great Khali bad. And I really do not want to hear no excuses with Khali, because that guy is actually the worst wrestler I've ever
seen. Listen, here's the problem. The great Khali has no joints. He's just thigh bones, a left leg, a right leg, a chest, a left arm, and a right arm.
There really have only been two people, actually three, who have gotten a five-star match out of the Big Show. Cena at WrestleMania 20, JBL at No Way Out, and Brock Lesnar on a SmackDown taping.
Okay, I don't count that one because that was only five-star because the ring destroyed itself. That was probably the last time we'll see the fans be like that. JBL versus Big Show at the okay look, main event. Come, you're getting me distracted. Main event.
Okay, Kofi was awesome as usual. What I liked about it was Kofi and Joe. Well, okay, Joe Higgins. That's his real name. Whatever. They were in the ring because Kofi was his pro, and I liked the way how Kofi played that whole thing out. That was good. Yeah, you know, Kofi getting beaten up the majority of the match, no surprise.
The weird thing is that if you watch the second season of NXT, Kofi really didn't do anything to McGillicuddy to warrant it.
Yeah.
No, because yeah. Kofi was a good pro.
Yeah,
but
he wasn't the fucking Miz.
Yeah. I'm just going to say the only problem, the only fuck up Kofi done with McGillicuddy, yeah, was the whole McGilly buddies shit. That really was awful. That was awful.
Not,
I don't know if you guys remember that, but that was.
Are you not McGilly buddy? Are you telling us you're not McGilly buddy?
I am a fan.
I'm gonna say one thing on Kofi. I would love to see him as a heel. I mean, when he did that spot with Orton a while back, he looked like he could be one hell of a heel.
Do you know,
oh, he destroyed
the problem is?
Listen, stop, listen. Stop bringing up the past. Main event. Let's finish the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Right. I love you guys, but we need to finish our job here.
Okay.
Okay.
Main event.
Go on next. Go on.
Basically, Edge and Lotus and Aaron went down to the end. Kane and Edge promoting the world title match at Survivor Series. They're digging out of Horror who gets to pin the last member of Nexus, who I think was Otunga. Edge wins, and I left after two minutes left. I didn't see anything happen after that. I'd say, as far as 10-man tag team matches go, it was pretty damn good.
Yeah, it had the obvious ending of most 10-man tag team matches, going all crazy at the end, everyone jumping in. But it was a well-paced match that I enjoyed it. A lot of guys showed how good they were. Kofi probably was the best performer there. JBL was pretty good.
Should not talk.
Okay. I
hate his voice. Slater should not talk.
Who? Gabriel.
No, Gabriel
Slater.
Well, Gabriel, I can stomach. Slater is like, he sounds like a fucking retard.
Oh, it's the other way around with me, you know. I can't. It's not because of that whole the South African accent. It's just, as a heel, he's got to shut up. He sounds so.
Yeah,
Gabriel
can't be a heel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just, poor heel. Plus, he's a high flyer too, yeah. And traditionally, and I'm not saying this all the time because Alberto Del Rio, for example, yeah, he is actually a pretty decent high flyer, you know. But as you could see, guys, he's more doing a lot more
technical
moves. Yeah.
I mean, when Gabriel's not talking and he's just doing physical stuff, he can pull off a heel. But
yeah.
When he's on the mic, he can't be a heel.
You know what, listen, the only reason I could see Gabriel as a heel is because he's with people. And this was going to go back to what DeGreece was saying. High flyers are technically not heels. And the main reason is they're not really feared. I mean, high flyers are awesome, yes. But that's the thing. There's three reasons why they can never be heel, like true heels. One, they always get the crowd attention. You don't want, you know, when you can get the crowd to go, ooh, and ah, you want them to be the face. Two, they're not that big. They're not going to fear someone like the size of Rey Mysterio or Justin Gabriel because, you know, you look like you just flick them away. And three, they don't really have number one contendership with the look. That's just why I missed the Cruiserweight title because it at least gave them something. WWE...
Speaking of that, they should bring it back at Survivor Series. It would be perfect for the concept. Put all the Cruiserweights in a battle royale, and the last one to survive is the new Cruiserweight champion.
That would be great.
Shulman is probably one of the last... Exactly. I think, you know, Shawn Michaels, I think he's probably one of the last true high flyers that ever got that proper spot, you know.
But then again, he wasn't pure high flyer. He got a little technical. He had a little bit of brawling with it. Shawn Michaels was the ultimate package. He was a bit of everything. He wasn't just one class.
Doesn't Eddie count as the last one, though? Eddie Guerrero?
I say he had more technical work, but he did have the high...
He was more high flyer, but probably...
He had the high flyer with him, but he got more technical later on in his career, and he didn't really have the high flyer look as well.
Yeah, and again, another thing, you notice a lot of the guys now, who do high flyer moves, example, Edge has stopped when he was a heel. You notice Jericho barely even does a lion salt anymore. And take a look at AJ Styles. I mean, that guy's... He had to take most of his arsenal away because he's a heel now.
Yeah, exactly. Don't mention TNA during a SmackDown podcast.
Okay, I'm tired of this off-topic crap. We're done. Guys, rate SmackDown.
All right, I give it an 8 out of 10 because Michael Cole couldn't shut up.
I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10 because Kofi was in the main event.
I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10 because it was not up to par SmackDown. It had two squash matches, and it had a stupid match involving Vicky Guerrero. And then it had Kofi Kingston getting beat up.
I hate Vicky so much.
Yeah. Well, Vicky looks hot.
Stop me!
No, she doesn't. You are a terrible person for thinking that. You are a terrible, terrible man. Anyways, this is 2 and 5,000 filling in.
This is
Timmy 5000 filling in for X, who is probably dead in a ditch somewhere, so he'll probably be back after we revive him. Thank you for joining me, X Factor, and thank you for joining me, Degrees. Stay Simply 7.
Stay Simply 7.
Stay Simply 7.